You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sivasodhi. There's a new book out. Well, there's a whole lot of talk about Malaysians going to the polls soon. But how many of us actually understand what our members in parliament do? What, you know, what is the day one riot all about? But there is a book out now and joining us today is Jacqueline Ansurin of The Nutgraph to tell us more about this book called Understanding the Day One Riot. Welcome to the show, Jacqueline.
Thanks, Mira. It's a pleasure to be here.
Okay, what's this book all about?
Well, this book is primarily an expansion of an online project that The Nutgraph undertook between middle of January last year and the middle of June. And what that online project was called was, it was called MP Watch, Eye on Parliament. And what it did was it asked six questions of all 222 sitting MPs and we asked them to talk about what their positions were on key issues of democracy in Malaysia. Now, this book, Understanding the Dewan Rakyat, is an expansion of that project, and it has three parts to it. One part of it is a replication of the 222 profiles that we managed together through the interviews that we did. And then the first part is actually a very simple explanation to people who may be curious about how government works in Malaysia. And for that, we engaged and we collaborated with the My Constitution team, which had done a series of Rakyat Guides, which try to explain how government works based on the federal constitution. So there are four chapters in there that were written by the My Constitution team that looks at the function of parliament, system of governance in Malaysia, how elections are held, how are MPs funded. And there's also one chapter that was written by a lawyer, Norshila Shaha, about the roles and power of the speaker based on the standing orders and based on the constitution. And then part three is, of course, as I said, a replica of the 222 profiles. And in the middle, part two is an analysis that the Nutgraph conducted based on all the responses that we got across parties.
That's the MP Watch initiative.
That's the MP Watch initiative.
Okay. Why did you decide at the Nutgraph that you needed to do this MP Watch project?
Well, as journalists, we were noticing that the media wasn't playing the fullest role it could in terms of holding the people we elect into power accountable. And so, for example, in by-elections or in the elections, we were noticing more and more light-hearted reports, that were very personality-driven. And things along the lines of, you know, who was the most handsome candidate? Or, you know, what was his or her favorite food? There was even one story in one particular by-election where a commentary was made about the fact that the spouse of a candidate wasn't wearing a traditional costume. And, you know, it's either that or it's the other side of it, which is this kind of tit-for-tat that happens, you know, MPs or candidates fighting over very small issues which really, really do not reflect larger, more important issues that our democracy needs to be facing. And so we decided that the Nutgraph, as an online media site, wanted to play this public interest role. And we thought, you know, very few people actually know what our MPs stand for. Very few people actually know how our MPs will vote in Parliament when it comes to issues of, say, the ISA, which allows for indefinite state detention without trial, or freedom of information, for example, or even the notion of separation of powers. And then we also thought, look, it's not fair to constantly just put them in the spotlight. It's also important for us to understand, now, what are the challenges they face? It cannot be easy being a member of parliament. And so we came out with these six questions, three of which the Nutgraph predetermined, and the other three, we conducted a poll, and readers chose those additional three questions.
Okay. Yeah. And I understand, out of the 222 MPs in Day One Riot, 109 did not participate.
That's right. So less than half.
Yeah. What does that tell you about the whole survey and, you know, your findings?
Well, I think we were pleasantly surprised and encouraged that slightly more than half actually responded, bearing in mind that the Nutgraph is a relatively new media player on the scene. And bearing in mind also that we were online, and I think there is still some amount of resistance, especially from the ruling coalition, towards what is seen as online and hence, you know, so-called alternative. So we did not expect such a high response rate, to be honest. So we were really, really encouraged by the fact that more than half actually responded. Plus, I think this is the first time that any such media initiative had been undertaken, where MPs were really being asked, now, what is your principle? What is your stand? How will you vote? And some of these issues that we were trying to address were kind of controversial, if you think about it, because we asked the question, would you support the notion of an Islamic State in Malaysia? Malaysia? Do you think Malaysia should be Islamic or secular in nature? And for some MPs, they found it really difficult to answer that question. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. What was the percentage of MPs from government who participated mm-hmm. as opposed to those in opposition?
Well, for certain, we had far more response from the Pakatan Rakyat Coalition. Having said that, though, we also had ministers and deputy ministers who were elected MPs who responded. So among the ministers, of the 24 who were elected, 6 replied. And of the 32 deputy ministers who were elected MPs, 12 replied. However, among the Barisan Nasional, you know, we had a very, very low response rate, especially from UMNO, which is a real shame, I think. I think only 30% of all of their elected MPs took part in the project.
Yeah. Were there reasons for that?
I guess they would be the best people to respond to those reasons. But we did have a kind of across-the-board poll with some of the MPs when they chose not to respond. And some of the things which were anecdotal were we had some BN MPs, not just UMNO, BN MPs who said that they could not participate because they felt that if their views were made publicly known, they would get into trouble with the whip, mm-hmm. the BN whip.
Okay. But how reflective, then, is are your findings that's been published in the book called Understanding the Dewan Rakyat?
It's reflective in that it really calls an analysis from the 113 MPs' responses. We do not pretend to represent all of the MPs mm-hmm. because we cannot. What we do is that we analyze the data that we managed to glean from the 113 who participated fully in the project.
Okay. And what did you find? What were your findings? Just very briefly, what are some of the findings that you feel, you know, voters need to know?
I think the most interesting finding for us, even in the newsroom, was the fact that actually BN MPs, you know, more BN MPs than past MPs actually believe that Malaysia should be an Islamic state. You know, and some BN, some UMNO MPs actually think that Malaysia already is an Islamic state. Mm-hmm. So that for us was very revealing, and it raises questions, obviously. And then in terms of abolishing the ISA, for certain, nearly all the opposition MPs very clearly wanted the ISA abolished. A couple of BN MPs, you know, said that it could be reviewed, for example. In terms of freedom of information, for certain, most of the opposition MPs understood freedom of information far more clearly than the Barisan Nasional MPs.
Okay, what were the questions asked?
The questions that were asked, there were 3 that were predetermined by the NAGRAF, and that was, would you support the abolition or review of the ISA, in particular the provision that allows for detention without trial, mm-hmm. and why or why not? The second one was, do you think Malaysia should be a secular or an Islamic state? The third was, how do you define your role as an elected MP, and does Parliament provide you with the necessary infrastructure and support to fulfill that role? And then the additional 3, we kind of had a poll amongst readers, and so then they decided the other 3 questions, one of which was, would you support a Freedom of Information Act? The second one was, if there was one thing you could do to strengthen parliamentary democracy in Malaysia, what would it be? And the final question was, do you believe in separation of powers between government, the executive, i.e. parliament, and the judiciary? Why or why not?
Okay, and what did you find out? Do our MPs really understand their role in parliament?
For the most part, yes, they do. They understand that they are meant to be legislators, and that's the role of parliament in any case, to make laws in this country. However, most of them also talked about the challenge of having to play a dual role. And so the second role that is expected of them is to provide social services to their constituency. And that really, really distracts them and takes away resources from them in fulfilling their primary role, which is as lawmakers.
Right, which is a problem that lies with us, the Malaysians, who expect them to do this sort of social work. Would you say that's what
yes,
you found out?
Yes, I mean, we had all kinds of anecdotes from MPs. One MP even told us that when he goes for kunduris and he has to give an ang pao to the wedding couple, the host would actually put his ang pao in a different pocket just so that they could check later on how much the MP had given them. I mean, this notion that an MP is meant to provide your child with a computer loan, a study loan, or is meant to go and deal with your clogged drain is really, really misplaced. And that's the other reason why the NAGRAF wanted to do this project. We wanted to do public education so that we could refocus people's attentions on what the role of an MP really is about. They're not meant to be local councillors. We have local councils to do that. They're meant to legislate and to bring into parliament laws that benefit the country.
Okay. Coming up, we'll find out more about some of these misconceptions we Malaysians have of our MPs on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It's The Bigger Picture and I'm Mira Sevasodhi. We're talking about a book called Understanding the Day One Rakyat with Jacqueline Ansurin of The Nutgraph. And we're talking about Malaysians and our perception of our members of parliament. Now, what else, Jacqueline? What are some of the other misconceptions?
I think really, you know, most voters treat our MPs as if they are one-stop center for all their troubles. And as a result, you know, MPs need to set up service centres in their respective constituencies. And that really, really puts a burden on the resources that they have. I mean, most people don't know this, but MPs earn only 10,000 ringgit. Their basic salary is 6,000. And then on top of that, they get all the other allowances and they get 10,000 ringgit. With that 10,000 ringgit, they're meant to, you know, set up a service centre. They're meant to, like, hire people to deal with the various complaints that people bring to them. Like I said, from clogged drains to, you know, not getting a scholarship to, you know, whatever else, land title problems, etc.
But that's not their job.
That's not their job.
No,
their job is primarily
yes,
as legislators.
Lawmakers in parliament.
Lawmakers. In fact, there's so much pressure on MPs that some MPs actually, when asked what they thought their role and their function was, said that they understood that they had two roles, but for some of them, the role of social service provider was far more important than the role as a legislator. And I think we can see how that's demonstrated in Parliament by the quality of debates we have over bills sometimes, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. And, you know, their foremost role, as you said, is to make laws.
Mm-hmm.
Are they carrying out their role as lawmakers?
I would say that they could be carrying out their role as lawmakers a whole lot better than what they're currently doing right now. It's not entirely the MP's fault for certain. I think that there are huge structural problems in government today. One of it at a very, very basic level is the fact that MPs are not getting enough resources to carry out their role as legislators. For example, the Malaysian Parliament's research unit has only 16 researchers for a total of 222 MPs. However, in the US Congress, there's a 700-member research unit for about the same number of Congress people. Mm-hmm. You know, so MPs are dashing around having to, you know, hire their own research assistants. How can you expect an MP to look at a bill and understand all its implications and vote on it in a couple of days without having that kind of backup, that kind of research assistance?
And understanding.
Yeah, and understanding, right? Across the board, actually, both MPs from Pakatan Rakyat and the Barisan Nasional asked for select committees to be formed, bipartisan select committees to be formed in Parliament as a way to enable them to be better legislators.
Mm-hmm.
So there are these structural problems that need to be addressed and can be addressed.
Right. Was the feedback from the MPs from both sides, mm-hmm. i.e. from, you know, the leading coalition as well as the opposition, were they consistent?
With regards to support?
The feedback that you got from the MP watch.
With regards to the support that they needed?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. In all three areas?
Yeah, in terms of, you know, whether or not there was separation of powers in government, whether or not they needed more support for certain. And what we saw, which the other finding which we were really pleased about, was there actually are MPs across the political divide who do agree on common platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And perhaps this is the book will provide them an opportunity to find out where they stand and what those common platforms are.
That's right. Where do you think everyone should pick up a copy?
Well, I think it's a great way to find out about the people we voted into power. I
mean, crash course.
A crash course.
On your constitution, on what your MP does.
Yeah, and also, do we vote in the right people in the historic 2008 elections?
Yeah, then we have this other issue of people voting for the party as opposed to the individual.
That's right,
yeah. Actually, the individual is so important. Because they are your voice in parliament.
That's right. And I think we all should know how our MPs, these are our elected representatives, are going to vote, because how they vote has a direct impact on our lives. It really does. Mm-hmm. Whether it's detention without trial, or whether it's freedom of information, or whether it's, you know, our economic competitiveness in the world. Yeah.
Yeah. How do we stop our MPs from looking at clogged drains and finding out how to, you know, please some of our you know, rakyat when they don't get places in universities, for an example? How do we move away from that sort of mindset?
That's a really good question, and I'm sure a few MPs themselves would have an opinion about that. The way I look at it is that I think that the other government institutions, from local councils mm-hmm. to scholarship boards to the education ministry, you know, should be fulfilling those responsibilities.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And what do some of the other chapters touch on? Just briefly again, one is on the Riot Guides, which is...
One is the Riot Guides, about which the Constitution. Is part one of the book. Mm-hmm. Part two, as I said, was an analysis of the 113 responses that we got. And it didn't just look at the quantitative and qualitative feedback that we were getting. We also got political commentators and analysts to explain why, for example, BN was far less likely to support abolishing the ISA than the Pakatan Rakyat was. So there's that kind of analysis that it also happens in the part two of the book. And part three, as I said, is a replica of the online project. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for joining us. Where is this book available, Jacqueline?
This book is going to be available from the middle of April onwards at all major bookstores. Mm-hmm. And it will be retailing at 95 ringgit. It's going to be a one-stop reference, we hope, that will serve a public education function.
And go grab your copy, Understanding the Day One Rakyat. Thank you for joining us, Jacqueline. Oh, before I forget, you have the support of Adenauer Foundation, Konrad Adenauer Foundation. Now, who are they?
The Konrad Adenauer Foundation is a political think tank, a German-based political think tank that has been operating in Malaysia for the past 30 years. And their primary mission is to look at rule of law, democracy, good governance, transparency, accountability.
And what sort of role have they played in this book?
They supported both the MP Watch online project and the Understanding the Day One Rakyat book project financially.
Okay. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Jacqueline Ansoran of The Nut Graph, talking to us about a book called The Understanding the Day One Rakyat on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.